were sitting in what is known as the G. Calvin McCutcheon Center. You had a 1984 $550,000 bond program for this Family Life Center, which had to have a tremendous impact then on the church. Did it bring in other people or young people, or how did that happen?
Well, any time a church do an improvement project for several years, many folk will join, and some members who had probably gone off and left the church came back. But we made tremendous sacrifices in paying for this building. We had floated a bond program.
So you needed to take in $4,000 per week, a Sunday?
A Sunday.
And how many people are in the congregation that you're asking for?
Well, we had at least 400 folk at that time, at least 400 active members. Our membership before the moving of folk from urban renewal, we had as many as 700 members.
That was asking a lot of 400 people, wasn't it? Yeah. Were there wealthy people there?
Not all that wealthy, but folk made some sacrifices. And not once during a period of, say, 2 years or more, did we ever miss a payment. Mm. Monday morning, we had to take $2,000 to the bank. And not once did we miss in 2.5 years. And then Bank First, it was, looked at our pay record on retiring them bonds and helped us to retire them bonds. Gave us enough money to call them bonds in, retire those bonds, and we were able then to have a little more cash flow.
So the church today doesn't have any major debt against it?
No, they have any major debt
against it. In 2011. No. You got really involved in the community, as we've already said. You wrote for the Oklahoma Eagle columns, and I have a long list of things that you did. You conducted revivals, gave lecture courses, preached installation sermons for pastors, anniversaries.
Right.
You were so involved in the civil rights and in the community. This is interesting. In 2002, you and other pastors would walk the streets after the clubs closed at 2 o'clock in the morning because there had been problems here in the community.
Oh yeah. I joined, it's not in existence anymore, what they call a 10-point coalition group. It was patterned after what they were doing in Boston, Massachusetts, to break up the violence in the community and to curb the drug rings and that sort of thing. We organized a 10-point group here in Tulsa. We did a lot of tutoring of students and that sort of thing. Amos Electric gave us one of his houses for a meeting place.
Amos Electrical Mechanical.
Out late at night, they had gathering places where a lot of young people would gather. It was a chicken shack out on Peoria. And late at night, kids would be out there in droves, just hanging around out there. Sometimes we would go out there, a group of ministers, you know, go out there and just talk with them.
Would they be interested in what you had to say?
Yeah, some of them were. You know, I think the kids, some good kids, you know, but I think they're just a matter of being a weekend and some place to hang out. Not violent or anything like that.
If students listen to this of all walks of life, they'll listen to your story. What kind of advice do you give to students?
Well, students from all walks of life, ministerial students and all, be true to yourself. Be honest in your dealing with your fellow man. And then, of course, if you make some failures, try to be bigger than the mistake that you made. And then I think what carried me even in my work up to now, even when I was struggling working my way through college, assign yourself. If you're working on a job, you don't have to wait for the boss to tell you what to do. And there's no reason to be standing around idle doing nothing. But see paper on the floor, a floor need to be mopped, a window need to be washed, get a bucket and go wash the window, you know, rather than to be standing around doing that. Assign yourself. And even in this church work, and I'm the only minister in all of the years of Mount Zion Church. Mount Zion is 102 years old now, but the record will show that I'm the only one up to my being made pastor that kept regular office hours. I decided that Everybody else getting up and go to work, I get up and go to work too. My wife gets up and go to work, I get up and go to work also. That's the kind of thing that I would teach people to do.
How would you like to be remembered?
That's a good question, and I've already got it figured out. I told my wife, thinking of a good epitaph to put on my tombstone. I said, I only want two words on that. He tried. Now, he tried. That's all. I mean, you don't have to put on that, that he was a state convention president. He served Mount Zion 50 years, and he's worked with the National Baptist on the national level 50-something years. But just two words, he tried. That's about all I would ask to be put on there, because not everything that I put my hand to succeeded. And not everybody who I met I got along with. But I tried. I mean, not every sermon I preached was a good one. I can grant you that. But I tried. And I stayed on the job. And still, if I can't help you, I won't hurt you. There are ministers right now who are passing good churches who call me, you know, when they get in some bind or something, or even in sermon preparation. They ask me, my cousin, what would I do here? And I said, man, come on by and let's kick it around. So I still have an office here at this church. They gave me the library down there, and I refuse to put a phone in there because I have my cell phone. When I go in there, I go in there and study.
Well, I want to thank you for this time.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to talk, and I appreciate it, even being asked. A girl at the Greenwood Center,
Francis Jordan.
Francis Jordan called me, and she said, and he said he wanted to talk to a preacher, and you're the only one I thought about. I said, well, okay. She, of course, suggested that we would come there for the interview.
Well, it was important, I think, that we did it here in this location.
Well, that's all right.
Because I mean, this is a real historical location where we are.
Yeah.
And because of a website and today's technology now, your story will be heard again and again and again.
Well, I hope so.
Your sermon will be repeated again and again and again for generations to come.
Well,
so,
that's good.
Thank you, Dr. McCutcheon.
Well,
I appreciate
I'm
it very much.
Glad to be of help, and I better call my wife and tell her I haven't gotten lost. She's probably looking for me by now.
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much.
Well, that's all right.